The game is in the books, and the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks Radio postgame show is on the air on the Blackhawks Radio Network.
Welcome in to the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks Radio postgame show. Flight is the next generation of light beer. I'm your host, Charlie Romeliotis, here at the United Center. I'm a little thrown off right now because I'm on the TV monitor as I watch myself on the Blackhawks Breakaway podcast. Here at the United Center, Hawks fall to the Minnesota Wild 3-2, and that background noise you hear is the sad organ music, which is back because it's a loss, unfortunately, for Chicago. They got off to a really good start in this game, was scoring the first two goals of the game, Frank Nazar and Nick Foligno, but unfortunately it was that second period that really was the downfall of the Blackhawks in this game, going 1-for-4 on the penalty kill, Minnesota scoring 3 on the power play. As I turn to my right and bring in the great John Weideman to help me break down this game as well. John,
let's do it.
I think it was the period that you highlighted as well, that Minnesota, the second periods for them last year were very, I think they were one of the league leaders in goal differential in the second period, we saw why in this game.
They understand, I think, you know, John Hines, I'm going to give John Hines some credit here. He's their head coach, and John is an astute man, I'll say. John played his college hockey at Boston University. He played in the last Beanpot tournament that was held at the Boston Garden. There's a little nugget for you. But John understands what that means to be the long way from the bench in that second period. It means you can't take icing calls. You can catch your opponent in a bad line change and take advantage, which they did. And then they seize on the opportunity with the power play. And so you got to give them credit. They played a strong game, and that's a good squad, boy. That's going to be a good hockey team this year. And with Kaprizov's contract issues behind him, he can now concentrate on playing hockey, and I think that's going to make a big difference for them. And Bill Guerin, their general manager, kind of on an ongoing basis, he's continuing to build that team into a solid contender. So that's what we saw.
Yeah. In this game, it was the penalty kill that did Chicago in. On Tuesday, it was an 0-for-6 power play night by the Blackhawks. And so I know this sounds silly or cliche, but special teams is going to play a crucial part in the success of the Blackhawks as far as the standings go. Rarely are they going to step foot on the ice against a team that they have a better roster, or I should say, they're going to be one of the youngest teams in the NHL, if not the youngest team in the NHL, especially on defense. And so when you have those power play opportunities or those opportunities to kill penalties, it's going to be so massive in swaying whether or not the game goes your way.
Yeah, it may take them, Charlie, with a young team like this, it may take them till between Thanksgiving and Christmas to kind of see that cohesion that's necessary on both special teams, penalty kill and power play, to where they can get to a point where they've got ownership of it. You know what I mean? Like, not something that's going to be new to them, not something that they're going to have to adjust to. Hopefully there's a gelling process that will take place in every way, and special teams will be part of that. That would be a huge assist to this team going forward.
I was actually talking this morning to Connor Murphy about how long it might take for the group to feel like they are all on the same page with getting a new system down. And it typically does take some time, and he couldn't really pinpoint exactly, you know, by this day it's, or by this game, we're going to, you know, it's going to be an evolving thing. I remember I was talking to Tony Granato last week at practice, and he obviously knows Jeff well, being on his staff. So he ran this system, and he said, this is a system that's a little bit scary at the start, and it seems like it can be very intense, but once the guys get comfortable playing it and then they know where each other is going to be, then it becomes muscle memory, and it's like, okay, game on. And so I think it's just powering through the first, however long it takes them. Maybe it might take a while, especially because you have some young guys on this roster that are trying to navigate their way in the NHL. They're not, you know, 7-year veterans where they've seen systems or whatever, so this all might be new to them. But I do think, you know, patience should be preached when it comes to learning the new system, and just collectively trying to get all on the same page as they all navigate their way in the NHL.
Well, I can only relate to the listeners this. Back in the days of Kane and Taves, with the power play, it seemed like there was a reliance on Patrick Kane.
Yep.
With the penalty kill, a lot of times there was a reliance on Jonathan Taves. And I'm not going to say those were the two leaders of the individual special teams, but you definitely knew you were going to get Patrick Kane for a power play, and you knew that you were going to get Jonathan Taves, on the penalty kill because he could win faceoffs. And anyway, my point being that now instead of a reliance on one individual to be the linchpin on those teams, it's going to be a collective kind of a thing where everybody's going to be involved in some way or another. There might be guys that'll be playing on both special teams, power play and penalty kill. It's not going to happen in the first month, I don't think. Not going to happen in the first 2 months. This is just my opinion. I think somewhere around Christmas is when things will kind of ring true to this team, and they'll understand what Jeff Blashill and the coaching staff are trying to say to them. They'll understand the schemes, what they need to do. Who knows how many individual meetings these coaches are going to have with these players to get them to learn, to keep that learning curve going, but to a point where they can embrace it. And then, that's right, you told me that last week, now I remember. And then they get into that situation on the ice, and they realize what the coaches are trying to tell them. It just takes a little bit of time. And to me, it's going to be time well invested because this is a good group of young players.
How about the finish of this game? I was looking at the final minute and 28 seconds after the Blackhawks had pulled Spencer Knight for the extra attacker. It was fun to watch Chicago because in the past couple years, they haven't really had the horses to be in situations like that and you feel comfortable. But now it's Connor Bedard, it's Frank Nazar, it's Sam Rinzell. Tyler Bertuzzi had a career year under Jeff Blashill, so he kind of might be rejuvenated. Teuvo Teravainen, the Hawks had nine shot attempts in the final 88 seconds of this game. Six of them were on goal. Bedard had three of them, Rinzell two, and the other three were blocked. So that was a very impressive throwing the kitchen sink at Minnesota. And if they had 30 more seconds, they might find the back of the net.
I think if you went down into the Wild dressing room and you asked them what they thought about that last, what'd you say, minute 28 seconds?
Minute 28.
Okay. I think if you went down and you asked the guys that were on the ice for the Wild what they thought about that sequence and how hard they had to work just to preserve that lead, I think you'd get a pretty edifying kind of a look at what Blackhawk fans can expect to see for the future for their hockey team, because you and I, this is just a preseason game, but you and I saw two squads that look pretty comparable to what they're going to look like in the regular season going at it in a very close game. And I really think that if you could get some of the Wild players that were on the ice during that, they'd tell you, wow, those kids can really bring it. And so as soon as they learn the schemes and they understand them, it's a second nature kind of a thing. At that point, wow, we're going to have something here.
For sure. What did you think of some of the guys that are on the bubble? This was the heaviest NHL roster that the Blackhawks have fielded in the preseason, and tomorrow's roster is likely going to be some Rockford call-ups, and it's going to be a less, just being second of a back-to-back, Sunday being a travel day, wanting to stay fresh for Tuesday. I thought Nolan Allen looked noticeable in this game. He got the crack with Connor Murphy on that third pairing. Ethan Del Mastro had been in that role in the week leading into the game, but he's had a little bit of a tough training camp, and so I thought Nolan looked good. And as the Blackhawks prepare to make their final cuts, I believe the rosters are due Monday at 4 p.m. Hawks have to get down to the 23-man roster. They have quite a few guys on defense right now that are on the bubble, whether it's Matt Grizzlick, Nolan Allen, Louis Crevier, Ethan Del Mastro, and then, if there's a healthy Alex Vlasic on opening night, they're seemingly only one or maybe two spot max for four defensemen.
Yeah, I don't think Nolan Allen did anything tonight to hurt his cause. He was a plus one. He picked up an assist on, I believe it was the first goal, maybe the first, was it the second goal or first goal that was scored? I'd have to look and see. But I don't think he did anything to hurt himself. In fact, I kind of liked his game. His game was steady. He had a couple of hits. He didn't block any shots, but he seemed like he battled out. You'll recall the battle he had, the one-on-one battle he had with Kaprizov in the corner.
Yep.
Took him into the corner glass and off the puck. Blackhawks got puck possession off of that. So I don't think he did anything to get anybody to say, no, he's got to go. And the same with Colton Dock. Colton Dock also finished a plus one. He had three hits. He had 10 minutes and 53 seconds of ice time. So if you double that ice time, you know, which they're not going to do, but if you did, I think you would have seen more out of him. So as far as I'm concerned, those two guys, I could see them both making the squad. That obviously that decision is not mine, but I don't think either one of them did anything that hurt their chances.
Yeah, and it feels like we're at a point now where the Hawks really want to see what they have in guys like Del Mastro and Allen, because
right.
It's almost like they've tapped out of Rockford. Like they've been down there for several years, and it's let's see what they have at the NHL level. Having said that, you also have a guy like Louis Crevier, and so he can't carry too many defensemen because then you got two sitting on a nightly basis. So I like Nolan Allen's game. I think the difference between Allen and Del Mastro, I will say Del Mastro obviously has the size. Allen is a little bit more undersized. I would say Allen is more defensively minded. Del Mastro is more, he's defensively minded, but he has offensive upside. Like he's quarterbacked the power play in Rockford. He quarterbacked it, for, I believe, for Team Canada at the World Juniors and his junior team as well. So he has higher offensive upside, but Allen seems like the kind of player that if you need, I remember when Allen got drafted, it's like the traditional, oh, who do you model your game after? And one of the guys he mentioned was Nicholas Hjalmarsson. I'm like, that's a very good player to study. And so if Allen can be like Hjalmarsson-esque as far as, like, I don't know, maybe even just half of that, because it's hard to even be a full Hjalmarsson, because, he was just like the best defensive defenseman, in my opinion, in my era. And so anyway, I digress, but like if you're the Blackhawks coaching staff and you're trying to figure out Allen, Del Mastro, if you know, like you're trying to figure out which guys are going to be slotted in specific roles. And if you're looking at Allen, it's like, well, he could be a good defensive and he's very physical in front of the net, like you mentioned with Kaprizov. So,
you know what, Charlie, my thought is that these are tough decisions and it's a good thing that they're tough decisions. You know, you've got to decide between two young guys. They both bring something to the table. You mentioned each guy's attributes. I'm not going to repeat that, but it's a good problem to have. And then maybe the coaches are looking at it from the perspective of okay, how does this person, you know, Del Mastro's game, how does that integrate into our overall scheme? How does Nolan Allen's game, defensive game, integrate into our overall scheme? Which guy is the best guy to go to? Because we're going to be presented with this scenario far more than we'll be presented with that scenario. I mean, maybe they think it that deeply, maybe they don't, but it's a good problem to have, that you have so many guys that are pushing for roster spots, and the competition's been good. They've acquitted themselves pretty nicely, I think, both of those guys you talked about, Del Mastro and Allen.
Yeah, and up front, I think the forward group that we saw in this game is likely going to be the opening night roster forward group.
Yeah.
Because the three forwards on the outside are Oliver Moore, Ryan Green, Lucas Reichel. I imagine Doc has done enough for me to solidify a spot on this roster. Foligno and Lafferty are the other two on the fourth line, and then you have Landon Slagger. He's not coming out. So I think what the 12 forwards we saw on the ice tonight, I think that's your line combinations for Tuesday in Florida.
So then you ask yourself, who's that extra forward? Because they always keep at least one forward, right? The roster is 23. So that means a forward, a defenseman, and, well, no, it'd have to be maybe a defenseman and two forwards.
Yeah.
That are your extra skaters. So who is that person, right? And I'm going to tell you my own personal feeling about this. Oliver Moore, I believe that kid makes things happen. He makes things happen, and I like that. I mean, we haven't seen him score a goal yet, but we've seen him be very involved and hustle and roll off of checks and act like no one was even close to him. He sets up chances. He uses his speed effectively, his quickness effectively. I personally like what I saw in his camp. And if he's the guy, you know, that joins the team, or one of the guys that joins the team as the extra forward, I wouldn't be unhappy with that at all.
I have been really impressed with Oliver Moore's training camp. I agree with you, John. And he even started, actually, in the rookie showcase in Minnesota. I thought he performed very well there, scored right. The overtime winner in the first game of the showcase. Honestly, if we're sitting here today and you asked me, is Oliver Moore one of the 12 best forwards on this roster right now? I would say yes. The challenge is, what role would he play on the team right now? Because Donato, Bedard, Barakovsky is the first line. Teravainen and Nazar Bertuzzi is the second line. Slager, Dickinson, Mikheyev seems like it's going to be the shutdown line. So I would almost rather Moore get sent to Rockford to play the top line minutes, first power play, first penalty kill,
right,
rather than, you know, be relegated to the fourth line or whatever. Because, like, I agree with you. I feel like when he is a full-time NHL player, he's going to be able to impact the game in different ways, not just at 5-on-5, but his speed. You know, we mentioned the speed that the Hawks have up front with Nazar and Mikheyev on the penalty kill. I wouldn't be surprised if Moore is one of those guys, too, on the PK, where he's flirting with a ton of shorthanded chances whenever he gets that opportunity.
At the very least, if he's on the penalty kill, he uses his speed to maybe break up a passing sequence, or maybe to, you know, clear the puck into an area where he can use his speed to go get it and get it away from an opponent, rag the puck, kill the penalty clock, and then maybe set up a teammate for a chance. I mean, I can see all of those things in that kid's game. I haven't really seen him shoot the puck that much. Like, it seems like he's almost deferential that way. Like, you know, where's the guy I'm supposed to pass to? And he does all that work to get the puck back, and then, you know, he's a complimentary piece. But I love his quickness. I love his ability to bounce off of checks, stay on his feet, and make good passes, and then get involved in, you know, the forechecking end of it. And then you even the part that I haven't even talked about with him is his backchecking effort. His backchecking effort at times has been, I mean, really notable. That's not something that gets talked about as much,
right?
But, you know, it's an inglorious kind of a thing that they've all got to do it. And he's got the speed to be able to do it. And if he wanted to play a physical game, he's got the speed to get to a lot of checks that a lot of guys can't.
I love it. All right, the Hawks fall to the Minnesota Wild 3-2 in essentially what was their dress rehearsal before they prepare to take on the Florida Panthers on Tuesday. In Sunrise, Frank Nazar is going to be a problem for the Minnesota Wild in the Central Division for many years to come. And Nazar also drew a penalty early in the first period as well. So I thought he had a really, really strong game. Really quick, let's get to tonight's Ice Times, which are sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. Nazar was one of the leaders for Chicago among the forwards. He finished with 20 minutes and 2 seconds of ice time, that tied Connor Bedard for the second most among forwards. Teuvo Teravainen led the way for forwards among Chicago players at 21:08, but it was Sam Renzel leading the way for the Blackhawks at 23:29, and it feels like that's going to be a theme this year for the Blackhawks. Sam Renzel leading Chicago in ice time. Renzel, by the way, had, 9 shot attempts, 5 shots on goal, 2 blocked, 2 missed the net. No surprise. I mean, it feels like we're going to see a lot of that from San Renzel. So, as I think of two of those shots on goal came in the final minute of this game when the Hawks were really throwing the kitchen sink at them. So, I thought it was a nice performance. But yeah, with Frank Nazar, 4 goals, finished with 3 shots on goal. Wasn't great at the faceoff circle, 6 of 17 at the dot. But he's been taking a lot more responsibility in that department. Let's hear what Frank Nazar had to say after this 3-2 loss to Minnesota.
Games against the Wild this season possible?
Yeah, can we get them every game?
We were just talking to Nick. It seemed like the first period you guys were doing what you wanted, and you know, how much of a lesson, as he called it, was that second period of staying disciplined and everything?
Yeah, I think that's it. That's the whole thing. It's just staying out of the box, find a way to, you know, stay level-minded even after we get scored on, not go out, take another penalty, and kind of go right back out in the same position we're at. Just staying out of the box and just doing our job. That's about it.
You guys feel like you're getting the power play seems like you were getting the opportunities in more than one preseason game, and do you feel that way, that the opportunities are there at least?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, preseason's not going to be perfect,
sure.
And you know that, and I think it's a time where we're all learning new things and a lot of stuff's going through everyone's head, and you know, we're still trying to fix up all the small little things, and you know, as long as the result's there and the process is, you know, continue to grind, we're really just focused on that and really just the process.
For you personally, were you happy with just the preseason kind of picking up where you left off last season?
I mean, yeah, of course. I think that it could be a lot better, but I think anybody could say that. A lot of parts of my game that I need to round out from summer, playing a lot of summer hockey, you know, get rid of those bad habits. You know, I need to stop on pucks, go through guys, stop reaching, just stuff like that. But I think as the season goes along and comes up here on Tuesday, you know, start working those things out of my game, and these games help a lot.
How do you guys feel going into Tuesday? I mean, tonight was pretty close to a dress rehearsal.
Yeah, it's great. I feel unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Super confident, feel happy, mm-hmm. having fun, and I'm excited.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Frank Nazar, happy and having fun, and like you heard him joke around at the top. Yeah, can we play them every game? Because Frank Nazar really likes to play the Minnesota Wild in this preseason with 4 goals in the 2 games against them. The other goal that Chicago scored was by Nick Foligno. It was on a redirection from Sam Renzel at the top of the point. Nice to see Foligno get on the board. Let's hear what the captain had to say after this loss.
Forget the shots on goal. You guys seem to be dictating a lot. Did the second period with all the penalties and everything just kind of disrupt the flow and everything?
Yeah, I think it's a great lesson for our group. I think we are a team that has an understanding of when we play like we did in the first, we can be real dangerous and really hard to play against, and we set the tone. I mean, that was and obviously, you know, they're going to make a pushback, but we can't allow them to, you know, push back with the amount of penalties we took. And, you know, just stay disciplined. We can't beat ourselves. You know, that's the big message in this game today, where you kind of let them crawl back in, and or, you know, on the other side too, if we get a power play, we got to find a way to score one too. So you know, you're working out those kinks, but for the most part, I really like the game.
Feel like kind of a dress rehearsal for Tuesday with pretty much a full lineup.
Yes, nice. I mean, it just feels like hockey. Yeah, you know, not to be rude, just the other games feel like they're just chaos a lot of times. So you're trying to work on your systems. You got guys in places they're not supposed to be, and so this game felt like a, you know, two teams that are, you know, down to the numbers and NHL teams. So it was a nice game to get in before Tuesday, and I think guys are really excited to get to the, you know, first game of the season.
You guys have had a lot thrown at you in a little amount of time. Where do you feel like you guys stand with systems, and how much is that just going to have to work in progress maybe early in the season?
Yeah, I think because of the way we're coached, though, I think it's coming really fast. You know, the attention to detail, the information that we're getting, it's direct, it's purposeful, and it allows us to, you know, attain it as fast as possible. So I saw that even in our games, just how much better we got throughout the periods. And even our third period seemed to be our best periods a lot of nights. So that's a good sign. Guys know what they need to do and have adapted well to that. And we're obviously going to continue to work on things as teams make adjustments against us. But I'm really encouraged by our group. I'm honestly excited about what's to come here at the start of the season. And, you know, I think we just have to learn that, you know, we have to be the team that was like that in the first period, not the team that beats itself. Those are old habits. We got to get out of our game and understand we're a different team.
What do you see on your goal?
Just a nice play. Our D were shot ready, so just nice to battle. We talked about stacking. It's a word we use, and trying to get some traffic, and, you know, was able to get a stick on it. It was a great shot by Renz, and that's, I think, what we're trying to be more assertive up top, is just shot ready and get those pucks in, so when we do have that second to get away from a defender, we can use our sticks to our advantage, and it was nice to see.
That was Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno talking about this 3-2 loss to the Minnesota Wild. And yeah, Jeff Blashill has really been coaching this team hard all training camp to make sure that they are dialing in the systems, and I'm sure it's been intense at times. There have definitely been moments where Blashill will blow the whistle and he'll yell and he'll stop drills, you know, and he'll make them skate if they miss passes or turnovers, and so that is all understandable and part of the process. But I like that Foligno, even the veteran that he is, appreciates how intense these training camps are, because he knows that it's going to be beneficial to these younger players in the long term. The Blackhawks fall to the Minnesota Wild 3-2 in what was essentially their dress rehearsal game, because tomorrow is likely going to be a very young roster with the second of a back-to-back. You don't want to be playing some of the big horses on the second of a back-to-back in the preseason. So better rest up over the weekend, and so Chicago can be fresh when they go to Florida and take on the defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers on Tuesday. Let's hear what the new Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill had to say about this 3-2 loss to Minnesota.
It seemed like the first period you guys were dictating a lot. But second period, as Nick Foligno was saying, maybe you need to be more disciplined and everything.
Yeah, I think it's hard when you I like their first, I like their third. Took too many penalties, and then you're killing them. I actually thought we had moments in the kill of doing a good job, and then either a mistake or kind of a bounce. You know, two of them went off people and in. That doesn't mean we weren't without making mistakes in those situations, but they did go off us, and then they went off their chest. You know, so I actually was fine with the experience that we're gaining on the kill, but it's a hard recipe. Like, from a lesson moving forward, is you can't take that many penalties, and you're going to have the odd penalty that you can't avoid, but you can't take the unavoidable penalty. So, but I thought we got back at it in the third and played pretty good hockey.
Do you like just the opportunities you've gotten on the power play throughout the preseason, or hit and miss, or
overall? Yes, moments. No, you know, like, we got to, I don't know our percentage, but I don't feel like we've won enough faceoffs on it. That's one area that we're going to have to look at for sure. Got to make sure, you know, it's hard if you're constantly having to get in the zone. You're wasting 30 seconds. Plus, you know, you have to get in the zone. I think once we've been in, there's had moments of good, but I think it's still a work in progress.
The rest of the team game, 5-on-5 and everything.
There's none in the second. You know, so much special teams both ways probably. I thought our forecheck and Ozone was the best it's looked. That, you know, they're a pretty good breakout team. I thought that was the best it's looked. I think there's still some areas in D-zone we need to shore up, a couple teaching things. I think there's a big one is that we have to do a better job of still, like, kind of either breaking out clean or being stronger on some of our plays. There's times to punt sometimes, but when we do that, we have to make sure we get pucks out. I just thought we left too many pucks in our zone, so then you get in a little bit of scramble mode. I thought Chris played good. He's a solid player. He knows he's smart. You know, he moves the puck pretty good. He can kind of play a lot of different situations, so I thought he played pretty good.
You just take the next 24 hours to make the final decision?
Yeah. Like I said earlier, I just never feel like you need to make any decisions before you have to, and so we'll see how the next 24 hours goes. And the other big thing, I think, on that is, you know, him aside, the rest of the team – we're talking about one day in the year, you know, like, it's not like I've said this before. It's not like, my son's, Bantam team, you either make it or you don't make it. Like this is a constant, you know, marathon through the course of the season. And some guys are going to start down and they'll have big impacts on the years, like Frankie did at times last year. You know what I mean? That's just the way it goes. So I don't think this is I think more gets made about that opening roster than any other day in the year. I don't, you know, we don't write articles about the other days moving forward. So to me, it's kind of the same thing.
No, go ahead.
How do you feel like the team is grasping the system and everything that's been thrown at them over the last 2 weeks?
Certainly, I think we've improved in all those areas. So I feel more comfortable moving forward. I think we're getting better in those areas. I think it looks a little more natural. I think guys are able to do it without thinking quite as much. So, you know, if you go from the Detroit game, the first exhibition game, to now, I think we've come light years in our kind of the structural play of our game. It'll be good. You know, you can't wait for training camp to start, and then you can't wait for the exhibition game, you know, and then you can't wait for once you get the exhibition games, you can't wait for the regular season. So let's take tomorrow, have a good day. We'll have a group practice and we'll have a group plan, and then fly to Florida.
I, for one, am really ready for the regular season to start talking about meaningful hockey. That was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill breaking down this 3-2 loss to the Minnesota Wild. Thought when he was talking about the Blackhawks needing to do a better job of breaking out clean, that's something that I think Chicago will get better at this season because they have more mobile defensemen that are able to either skate the puck out or get passes up to the forwards quickly. I think of Sam Renzel, Alex Vlasic, Artem Levshinov.
eventually when Levshinov starts to get more comfortable, because it seems like Rinzel is just, he was comfortable last year in his nine games. And so I think the Blackhawks are going to get better at breaking out clean, because they're now starting to have the defensemen that are able to help push the puck up forward. So it'll be a work in progress. They're all very young defensemen on the back end, so it's not going to come without its warts. But I think we will see progress in that area as the season rolls along. It's time for a prospects update. Let's check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. And we have to highlight number 3 overall pick, Anton Friendell. You probably saw the highlight yesterday. He scored a Michigan goal, lacrosse style, in his game for the Swedish Hockey League yesterday. He also added another goal, so he had a 2-goal performance over in Sweden. Just to have the confidence to pull that off as an 18-year-old in the highest league in Sweden is impressive. It was a thing of beauty. He now has 5 points, so 3 goals, 2 assists in 8 games for Djurgården in his first season in the SHL, which is the top-tier league in Sweden. He's been playing both center and wing, so we've known that ever since he got drafted, that he can play either position. I think long-term, Chicago probably views him as a center, but no shame in playing wing there over there in the Swedish Hockey League. I think he started as a third-line center, and then he got moved to the second-line wing, so now he's playing more in a top 6 role. He's currently on pace for 20 goals and 33 points in the Swedish Hockey League. So that was impressive to see the Michigan goal by Anton Frandell. We got one more game in the preseason for the Blackhawks, which is going to be tomorrow, a 6 p.m. start. We're not going to have a pregame show. We'll have an abbreviated postgame show. But so this was a dress rehearsal game for us as far as a pregame and a full postgame show. And we'll be back at it on Tuesday, opening night in Florida, when the games finally count. So join us tomorrow, and then we'll see you on Tuesday from Sunrise.